listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I get down for my grandfather who took my mama, made her sit in that seat where white folks ain't want us to eat. And at the tender age of 6, she was arrested for a sit-in. And with that in my blood, I was born to be different. Now niggas can't make it to balance to choose lead. What? I was born to be different. Now niggas can't make it to balance to choose leadership. But we can make it to Jacobs or to the dealership. I swear I hear new music and I just don't be feeling it. Racism still alive, they just be concealing it. But I know they don't want me in the damn club. They even make me show ID to get inside of Sam's Club. I done did dirt and went to the church and get my hands scrubbed. Swear I've been baptized 3 or 4 times, but in the land where niggas praise UConn's and getting paid, it's gonna take a lot more than coupons to get us saved. Like it take a lot more to do rags to get your ways. Nothing sad as that day my girl father's passed away. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
Man, doesn't everybody have to show ID to get inside of Sam's Club?
No.
No? You don't? You can just get the Sam's Club? You can get the Sam's Club membership without showing ID?
You don't always have the membership.
Oh, you mean just walking up in there. Welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
Unofficial sport.
It's Bullet Ball.
And Bullet Ball Extreme. And today's podcast is a feedback episode. It's basically, we're going to talk about the shit that y'all had to say about the things we had to say last week. We'll go over reviews that we got, if they're 5 stars on iTunes and Stitcher, which we got 0 reviews last week. So, I don't know. Probably something dealing with that iTunes delay and shit.
We
didn't have any episodes posted for a week and some change, so I'm giving everybody the week off on this. I'm not even gonna be mad at y'all.
Nope, not even gonna be mad. We understand.
It might be fucking 40 reviews in the queue for all I fucking know. How would I know?
I told them hold on.
All the reviews might be out there what's up?
We ain't got nowhere to go. Shows?
Where the shows at?
That's what happened. Ain't got nowhere to go.
So at any rate, we also do voicemails. We didn't get any voicemails this week, but if you leave a voicemail, it's 2 minutes or less. Make it the number is 704-557-0186. Let me think, what was the other thing you can do? Oh, you can leave comments on our website, theblackguywhotips.com. And there's episodes every day posted or whatever, 5 days a week. And you can leave comments on the episodes and we read those as well. You can vote in the polls. Each episode has a poll. We do that as well.
Yeah, and since nobody left any 5-star reviews, you ain't put 5 on it, but you can put 5 on some tickets to come and see us live here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh yeah, don't forget September 20th, Charlotte, North Carolina, Blumenthal Theater for Performing Arts. All your faves will be there, including us. Come show up, man. I think so far it's about halfway sold out last time we checked. You know, which obviously, you know, ticket sales slow down after you announcing the stuff. You know, we'll see how many we can sell. Just going to keep pushing it and hope that many people can come join us. Once again, hotel deals start to run out in August, I think, about August. A month out. Some of the hotel specials will run out, so if you're thinking of coming, get your hotel now. Get your tickets now.
Stacking them tickets up so you can come and see us.
Yeah, and then also people gave us tickets to give away, which we'll try to give away some tickets closer to the event. Yeah. If there are people that want that, you know, they are going to be here and they would like to have 2 tickets or whatever, however many tickets. We'll do that closer to we get to the event. But
correct.
Yeah, you can go to theblackguywhotips.com/live2018 and check us out, man. We appreciate everybody that comes out and supports us.
Looking forward to it.
All right, the dark side official weapon, all that shit,
the taser,
and unofficial sport,
it's Bullet Ball.
Bullet Ball Extreme. All right, I feel like I said that already. What was I missing? Pause. I know what I was missing. The niggas that gave us money. yeah, so you can go to theblackguywhotips.com on the front page on the right side. You can donate to the show, and the people that donate to the show, you know, we like to give them a shout out. Because without them, you know, what the hell would we be doing?
Come on, what would we be doing?
You know, like,
they keep the boat afloat.
Yeah, like, I ain't trying to, you know, I ain't trying to struggle my whole life, you know. Mm. We need this money.
Come on.
And if it wasn't for y'all, we wouldn't be able to do it. So thank you to everybody that does that. Let me see here. Let me actually go in here and play y'all's song and read y'all names.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
Jasmine A. Thank you, Jasmine. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Waste Bees by Sura. We appreciate you as well. Damien R. Thank you, Damien.
Thank you.
Eric M. Attitude Check.
Franco Pride.
Come on. Michael Irvin, the Playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander M. Thank you very much. This is in the wrong folder. Let me move that. Okay. Mary H. Thank you, Mary. Stefan H. No relation. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel H. That's no relation. Three H's in a row. Omat A. Thank you. Jonathan W. Thank you as
thank
well.
You.
We got, why did I put this in this folder? What was I doing? What? This is not even the right folder for this. All right, let's try this. Deborah O. Thank you very much, Deborah.
Yes.
Janine R. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Corey B. We appreciate you.
We do.
Mr. Span of Span Report Podcast. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Andy S. Jeff M. Jonathan H.
Mm-hmm.
All y'all cool. I must have put a lot of these in the wrong folder. What am I doing? Nicole F. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Coulter H. Thank you. Early Days of Photography. Appreciate it. KM, thank you.
Yes.
Jeremy F, thank you. Marvin B. Yes, Marvin B.
Mm-hmm.
Chriselle M. Candace H. Asia D. Nerds in Luxury. Man, there's a lot of people. Justin J.
Yes.
Solana S. Adam S. Jason J. Katie G.
They was like, where was y'all niggas?
Yvonne M. Annie P. Man, y'all don't gotta leave 5-star reviews. Y'all can put 5 on it. Tom W, thank you. We got a one-time donation from Domingo M, who says, a small gesture for all the joy y'all bring into my life via the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, man, you know what? This is why we do this show every week. Not the money. I mean, just sometimes you forget, man. There's a lot of people out there that get their joy through you, you know?
It really is. And I know for a lot of people, all of a sudden, once they fix them issues, people's like, hey, my Spotify. They were like, hey, my episode. A lot of people had, like, backlogs.
Yeah. So, thank you, guys.
Yes.
Like I said, no 5-star reviews this week. Because I don't know. It could be the Apple shit. I have no idea.
Me either. Because I mean,
if you listen on iTunes,
up.
Nothing was even populating. A lot of people switched platforms and everything.
Yes.
Hmm. Georgia says on episode 1704, getting you through the work week. Hey Rod and Georgia May. Hey Rod and Karen. So this rant is a bit off topic since I've been catching up with podcasts, but I just wanted to say thank you very much for making me privy to the unfulfilled aha desires of you and other listeners. As a gastronomical conservative, I spent the rest of my day snickering at food innuendos like lay that Swiss cheese down on that crepe or squeeze that beef between them silver dollar cakes and fill them Belgian holes up with that mambo sauce and white meat, LOL. I'm corny. You're right up our alley. On another note, thank you for taking time to talk about Everything Is Love album. Have you ever noticed that Beyonce has never discussed the gender quality / personhood of Blue until she was of age to begin coming into her own? Many people will start attributing feminine or masculine behavior or traits to their child based off of what they wish or believe they will become. But in this album, Beyonce talks about giving Blue her vintage dresses and success without the limitations of the glass ceiling, which is closely associated to womanhood. And this is the first time I've heard her speak of her that way. They also both refrain from characterizing Rumi and Sir in the same manner. Oh yeah, I never really noticed that before. But yeah, now that you bring it up. Yeah, I mean, and then, I mean, there's also just a part of it too where Beyonce is so private. Even though people stand for her and she's the biggest star in the world and all this stuff, she keeps so much shit to herself. And she doesn't really do interviews. So, you know, who knows exactly how, what her thinking is along those lines, you know? So I mean, it could have just literally been behind the scenes she may be a different way, and publicly she's just like, it's none of y'all's fucking business, you know. Or maybe she's like, right
to be like that too.
Yeah, she could be like that at all times. I don't know. You were right that this is the album we need but don't realize it. Sonically, it delivers instrumentality, and with B's voice, the creativity that people often ask of the industry but will sleep on. Also, the notion of love, freedom, forgiveness, legacy, and my personal petty favorite, the addressal of people's desire to control who B is and how she presents herself. Whew, so much to unpack there. Yeah. Yep. All right, man. I still listen to the album probably like once a day or whatever. It's like, I really think people missing a lot because, you know, we'd rather, I don't know, we're so caught up in our own shit. It's just hard to take somebody pushing things forward. Like, I talk about that album all the time. I was talking about on Twitter last night about how, you know, one of my favorite lines on that album is, where would I be without my friends? We fall out, we make amends. Cause I feel like that latter part of that is like donezo for a lot of people. Like,
yep. Y'all fall out, that's it.
Yeah, we fall out, bye. Like, it's just, you know, and I hope that it's not that way, but it just feels that way because of social media and the way that people navigate it. But, you know, it does seem like people have these artificial relationships because we, you know, collide into each other via social media over and over and over again, right? You talk about things, tweet people, you get little clicks, people form groups, people get, you know, like that's their, you know, kind of online friendship circles or whatever, even if you never met them or whatever. But then, when one person falls out of that clique, one person disagrees about something, it's not something they can resolve. It's almost immediately to get the fuck out, you know. At least sometimes it appears to be that way. And, you know, I fucking love that song, Friends, because you're talking about the difference between your fake friends, your frenemies, ass niggas, and your people that are real. Like, your people that you're like, man, let me go check on this person, let me go do this thing. So I love that.
Yeah, and also that song, if people really listen to Friends is actually really, really deep, because also on a low they talk about people they don't fuck with. They didn't name names, but they like went through a list of various different things, and you know, they was like, hey, these people ain't my friend. You know.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing, like, you know, Jay has that line where he talks about, if me and my wife beefing, I'm not leaving the fucking house. Like, we gonna resolve that shit. And if you're a real friend, you understand that, you know, my family is in crisis right now. So, yeah, we're not showing up to your wedding or whatever the fuck it is. This is about us right now. And if you take that personally, then we weren't friends. You know, like, it's that kind of thing where, you know, I know for me personally, one of my things is, yo, if I'm having, I'm not the kind of person that forces my way into someone's life. So, you know, but if I allow someone access to my life, then I'm considering you a friend, you know, cause I typically just don't do that with people. So, you know, I'm not gonna be the person that, you know, like, I have, you know, I have some friends that do the, like, they call on everybody, they check on everybody, they do that thing all the time. I don't do that. But I have friends that, like, they'll call me and check on me, and I'll pick up the phone for them, like, hey, what's up, dog? You know, you good? What's up? You know, I'm good, you know, or whatever. And we talk through or whatever, you know, for a couple minutes, and that might be it. They might not, you know, they might dip out, but I don't take that shit lightly. You know, like, so it's kind of interesting to see, you know, even on that level, as famous and powerful as they are, they still have some of the same shit that regular ass niggas go through, where you like,
because they're people. I don't know why people think because you're famous you're not a fucking person,
right? So, but I kind of like the idea between, you know, like, actual friendship and working and what, and just being all up in the videos. Like, when he talked about Meek Mill, we said, when I say free the dogs, I free them. That's how Meek got his freedom. Y'all put niggas on a t-shirt, it hurts, you ain't never meet them. So it's like it's easy to put them on a logo, but you don't actually give a fuck about them. So I just fucking, you know, I just thought it was dope. So, but yeah, the album is, like I said, we'll see when people get over it, if they ever get around to it, because I feel like this is, for me, this feels like Watch the Throne, when a lot of people kind of did the like, I don't know, this is, I mean, y'all say it's good, can we admit that it's not, you know, they're gonna do that shit. And it, the agendas are complicated because a lot of people stand for Beyonce, don't like Jay-Z, and so they don't want to be like, fuck this album completely, because they scared that the Beyonce people gonna get them, right. And they don't want to be like, I like the album, because, you know, you don't want to be caught out here applauding someone like Jay-Z working on his toxic masculinity and trying to undo that shit. That nobody wants to be seen applauding that, because right. You might lose some what do you call it, cachet within, you know, the we hate these niggas clique, right?
And that's true. And then some people don't want to be caught like in anything.
Yeah, also, I mean to be honest, we ask people to do this stuff to detoxify their lives and to publicly, you know, admit to all this shit, and then when they do it, like, people get fucking ridiculous on them for that. It's
they
so,
don't mean it then. Yeah, they just,
yeah, so weird. Like, I think, like I said, people would rather hold the grudge than to have to let I was talking about this on Twitter last night. It's kind of, remember when Twitter had, I don't know if you remember this, Twitter said, I'm gonna change the we're gonna change the way the block function works.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what the block function was going to do was mute the other party.
Right.
Now they would still be able to see your tweets. They would not be able to, and they would even be able to quote them and at you, but you would no longer see them doing that.
Right.
Right. And
people,
I remember we had an episode about, maybe even two episodes about it. And you know, my thing was like, I mean, I don't have a problem with it, because that still serves the same functionality. Ultimately, my point is they need to go away. This would allow me to no longer see them.
Right.
But remember how angry people got about that?
Oh, people lost their motherfucking minds.
Like, it was like a lot of people, I'll leave Twitter. This is enabling harassment, which is Twitter with trolls and shit. It's harassment's always gonna be there. As long as there are human beings, there will be a way around every single set of rules that try to bar harassment.
Yeah, and truth be told, if Twitter was actually smart, they'd actually put that function in there and just not say shit.
Right. Yeah, that's what they should have done.
Right. They shouldn't have made an announcement or anything. Just put that shit out there.
But let me tell you something, dog. This is what I was thinking about. And I may have said it at the time, but I was thinking it was really relevant to what I was thinking about last night. You know why people would rather block somebody? And myself included. When I say myself included, I wasn't outraged if they would have switched it. I would have been fine. But myself included with the idea of blocking somebody, it gives you a symbol of power that's not real.
Mm-mm.
But it's a symbol of power, like, I blocked you. You can't see my stuff. And you know it. When you go to my page, you get a little notification that says, hey, I don't like you. And that's more important than the functionality of the site, which would serve the same purpose to be like, actually, you don't know that I don't fuck with you, and I got you blocked. You just go to my page, see everything as normal. You can fucking hate on me all day. You can say whatever you want. I'll never see it. I'm absolutely fine with this.
Me too.
Right? Like, I would be cool with that. But it's funny that the block function is so alluring to the people on social media, because we need that power over people to hold that grudge. And that's kind of how I feel about stuff like, you know, when these dudes quote unquote start to grow. That's how I feel about it. Like, where it's like, you know, and not even dudes, all these people, there's people that have been homophobic, there's people that have been transphobic, misogynist, racist, all kinds of shit, and they start having these like, I fucked up, let me figure out what's wrong with me, hey, I was fucked up, you don't have to be, this is where I fucked up, this is where y'all can do better than me. And we're still like, but I don't want to let go of that grudge. The grudge feels like power.
Yeah, that's what it is. And the thing is, people always want to have power over you, because when they have power over you, they quote unquote feel like they have control. And there's nothing worse than a person that's controlling realizing that they lost the power, because what happens is that once that person goes, oh, you gonna forever be mad, cool, but what I'm gonna do is go on over here, mind my business, keep living, that person fucking flips out and freaks out because all of a sudden they can't control you. They've lost that power mm-hmm. over you that they thought they had. It was always an illusion anyway, but they thought that they had power over you, because at the end of the day, a lot of people just like to control everybody and everyone around them. And I think that, like you said, that power of a now you know type of thing. And I think, for me, I could care less. Like I said, if they were smart, they would just put that function out there anyway. Now they got to put it out there now and not say nothing, and people would be just fine.
Yeah, my big thing is we like to know that we want the other person to know. You know, that's the big thing. And I think we all have it in us. Like, I'm no exception to this shit. But it's just funny because, to me, this album is about something that a lesson that a lot of people, it's gotten lost. It has gotten lost. It really has. It's become weak to forgive. It's become glorified to be petty. It's become, praiseworthy to be like, if I don't fuck with you, I'm never gonna fuck with you. It's reached this other level where it's doing more damage to be that way than good. And I fucking live by my word, so if I say that shit, I mean it. Like, you know, conflict resolution skills, that shit matters. It's wild that when we're kids, we have peer mediation, we have all this stuff, guidance counselor stuff,
they
right?
Need that for adults.
Once you get to be an adult, the stuff we use for peer mediation, police, the legal system, you know, gathering online on social media and bullying and harassing people and shit, like you watch people just kind of go through this shit where it's just like they're publicly dragging and embarrassing folks, and I'm like, this could have been a phone call.
That's simple.
Like, this could have been, you know, let's sit down and break bread and talk about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
This could have been a lot of things, but instead it's gonna be this, you know. And I admit, it's hard to keep the peace. It's hard. Like,
yeah,
motherfuckers will try you, they will push you, they will take your kindness for weakness on the fact that, and honestly, that anger inside of you that make, well, for me, I can't speak for everybody else, but the anger inside of me takes me to a place where I know the things I say can't be taken back, so I just don't say shit, because I know that if I say all it, and I won't even really mean it, which is the fucked up part, I'll just be trying to hurt somebody's feelings and then look back and be like, oh, wait a minute, you can't go back from that.
Mm-mm.
So I'd rather keep the peace than to air shit out. But I sometimes think people take advantage of that.
They do.
And you know, kind of same thing people you know do with the Carters, kind of same thing people do with everybody. It's like, oh, it's almost like you see people trying to be better, and then you're like, okay, now I'm gonna go in. So that's what that reminded me of when you wrote that, Georgia May wrote in that part about, you know, forgiveness and especially B's desire to not be controlled on how she presents herself.
Yeah, and also, truth be told, and we kind of talked about this before, the biggest reason why a lot of people have rejection to the album, just the whole concept, is because a lot of people have a lot of unforgiveness in their heart. A lot of people have had bad relationships with people in their past, and divorces, all types of things in their past. They haven't been resolved. They still have open wounds. You know, there's no forgiveness. Nobody has closed doors. Nobody has moved on, or the other person's moved on, but you still stuck in that rage. And because of that, they're not at a place where they can quote unquote forgive. And a lot of people don't want to forgive, because the thing about forgiveness, when you forgive, you got to forgive. It don't mean you forget. It means you move on. And a lot of people like to stay stuck in that spot. And for some people, they stay stuck there for very different reasons. Some people stay there because they always want to be the victim. Mm-hmm. They always have to be, you know, the one that their side of the story has to always be heard. And it's one of those things to where, I think truthfully, that's why a lot of people are rejecting this, because like you say, they haven't resolved, they haven't healed, they haven't moved on, they haven't come to any resolution. And like I said, when it comes to relationships, particularly, I can't speak for men, but I know a lot of women, they always waiting for the man or somebody else to shut that door or close that window, when baby, you just need to get your ass up and close it and snap it on your own and move on.
Well, you know what you just made me think of too, I forgot to mention, and I think, you know, this is a big element of it, grudge buddies.
Yes,
that's a huge part of it now, because it used to be a time where, you know, before the internet could help bring everybody together, quote unquote, you know, if you had some problem, like maybe amongst your crew of friends or whatever, you would have been the nigga that's known as the hater, quote unquote. Like, we always, like, it was accurate, and then it got overplayed with the idea, and especially in music, of the hater, right? This person's a hater. But some motherfuckers are haters. Like, they really do have a hateful disposition, and everything is negative to them, and it's kind of like, mm-hmm, bring everybody down. But what the internet kind of allowed people to do is people like that can group up.
Yes, they can.
So you can be like, we're gonna drag blank every time I see this person's name. And a lot of people find fellowship in that, and they become kind of like cliques or whatever. And because of the camaraderie of grudges, I think it's hard for people to even break that cycle and be like, well, you know what, man, I'm actually woke up today and I decided I'm letting this shit go, y'all. I'm moving on. I'm not letting this da 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 da. Then it's almost like, well, now you're leaving your friends behind. What does this say about all the conversations we had? You know, how many people try to like join up folks to their grudges? You know, like, so like, for example, if you say, I was listening to Blank album and I liked it, how many people try to hop in? Well, did you know this? You know, it's like, nah, I didn't know that. Well, I mean, I'm just surprised that you would even, it's like, oh, you want me to join in your grudge so that we become this group of people who, whenever we see Blank's name, we're jumping in it. You know, whenever, you know, you see, someone else that has some level of dissatisfaction, it's like, sign this person up to the grudge. So I think that's a big part of it too. It's one of the reasons I think people don't let shit go, and you know, it can get like that. And I'm like I said, and I think we all do it. I don't feel like, yeah, I'm an exception, mm-hmm, to this. I'm sure that I have my motherfuckers that I'm just like, this nigga, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even try to act above it.
It's a rarity, but yeah, I have like some people where I'm like, for real, word, you?
Yeah, you like, if it's Lena Dunham, you'll just completely be like tuning out. What the fuck? You know, I don't like this person.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, I think we all have it, but you know, I don't know how healthy it is to revel in that.
And the thing is, also, another thing, piggybacking what you say, if somebody decides, hey, I'm going to move on from this grudge or this falling out or whatever it is, now they have to put that energy somewhere else.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, if you've got to a point where you've been trained to put that energy towards this negative thing, now that negative thing is not there, it's almost, for some people, they lose their purpose.
Right.
Or they lose sight of, what the fuck can I do? You know what you can do? Something positive. You know what you can do? Reinvest in your life. You know what you can do? Spend the time that we was hating online with your family and your friends, mm-hmm, and your loved ones. Go visit your grandma that you know ain't, mm-hmm, got the internet. You know, go visit your auntie. Go see somebody sick and in a hospital. You know, you can actually do positive things. Take that self-care. Everybody go self-care. Well, self-care also mean not driving yourself crazy with battling people online. That's, well, also a part of self-care.
Yeah, I think that's the other element to this our album. Beyonce left Grudge Gang behind, kind of, you know, because that was getting to be the brand, was, you know, all of us that still have been done wrong and don't let it go, and the dude didn't do any work, or you know, we didn't want to allow him the chance to hurt us again, so fuck him or whatever. And she kind of was like, nah, I'm going to fight to try to salvage my family, and I'm going to make sure this nigga is fighting, you know. And you know, it's an album, I think, really, wow, I think that forgiveness stuff is a big lesson for everybody. The other lesson that I mean, Jay's been doing it for two albums now, and I just don't think people are gonna pick it up, because the hate for men is just so strong when it comes to, like, when a nigga fucks up like that. It's just like, some people are just completely like, I'm done with you. But there's never a path back for anybody anymore. Or, you know, like in our vigilance, quote unquote, in people's vigilance to make sure that no one ever gets over, they've also made it so that no one ever can truly be forgiven anyway. Not like that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, because we're seasoned, everything's forever. So I think it's funny because you see people write all these articles, they tell all this stuff about what men need to do and how they need to work on themselves and do better, and this is how, this will make you a better man, a better partner. And Jay does a lot of that shit on this album and on the last album, and people still need to shit on them. They need to. Now, the thing that's funny to me is the need to shit on him supersedes the need to hold up a positive example of change, to which reinforces why the fuck ever grow? What's the point?
Right.
Like, that's the ultimate thing. That's where everybody gets stuck, in my opinion. And here's an album with a way out. You know, I think it's gonna fall on deaf ears for a lot of people, but it's an album with a way out. Like, hey man, it don't have to be that.
No, it don't have to be that way. And the thing is that, and that people don't grow, a lot of that boils back to, I got to have that power over you. Like at the end of the day, I got to have,
which is honestly, so that's the biggest illusion. It's not even power. You see what I'm saying? That's what's so scary about it. You think you have power. This nigga is out here living.
It's an illusion, right?
Like, you just feel a certain way, and you get right. And you get your group grudge people, and they retweet and like and favorite. But like, legitimately, you're obsessing about somebody that has moved on and is living a life that is, you know, more fulfilling.
Ain't thought twice about you.
Right. The only thing he really did was let you in on his process. But other than that, you have zero control. You can't get on a fucking compound. You know what I mean? You ain't never gonna eat dinner with the Carters, like, niggas. Like, this is just them giving you a glimpse into their lives, and we're the ones that become obsessed about making it somehow about us. But it's just, I don't know, it's just interesting. You know, I love the album. I think it's timely as fuck. Or actually, it's ahead of its time. Anyway, I hope to be seeing you guys soon at the live show. Hey.
Hey.
And to hear more of your food news and fantasies so you can continue shoving down my throat and rubbing it all in my face. Love you both. Keep on keeping on. Thank you, Georgia May.
Thank you.
The poll was, are you watching the World Cup?
Mm-mm.
Karen is not. I'm actually not watching it either, guys. I'm sorry. I'm not a football person. I if it's on in the background when I'm somewhere, I don't mind, but I'm not really a football person. Yes, 30% of our audience is watching the World Cup.
Hey,
come on, my international folks. 71% is not, though. DJ Moore says, the corruption of FIFA selection of Russia investigated by the same Christopher Steele, in addition to the host country's involvement in the U.S. election tampering, makes it a bridge too far to watch the World Cup. Ooh, oh. Yeah, I didn't know it was that political.
No, I didn't know that either. And, you know, the way USA going, I'm not going to be like, USA. Mm-mm.
Well, USA didn't make it. They didn't qualify.
That makes sense. We shouldn't qualify for nothing right now.
Doug B. says, I have been no Russian anything since Republicans and crew actively supported all things Russian or Putin despite Obama. My husband is Peruvian, and I had to make an exception. You know, love and all. I hear you. I ain't mad at you.
Me either.
Yeah, it's weird because politics in that motherfucking World Cup is so strongly tied together.
A lot of corruption.
I'm not talking about the corruption, though. I'm just talking about the idea of politics in this tournament. Right. Like, you know, North Korea does this, and so-and-so does that. I'm like, isn't it just people out there kicking the ball around?
That's what I thought.
You know, it's just interesting. And they play into it. So, I mean, that's the hook. You know, you can't even say, like, oh, I can't believe this. Like, nope, that's the hook. Shanna came on, and we, on episode 1705, America Runs on Racism.
Yes.
We had a great time with her. We got one comment. Gatsu25 says, funny how these Fox Entertainment showrunners are finally calling out Fox News right before Fox News split gets approved. You noticed? Yeah, so what he's talking about, or what they're talking about, is that Fox has been bought, I believe, by Disney. It's been approved.
Yes. Yes.
And but the Fox News wing of Fox is still staying separate of the sale. So now you have Fox, which, you know, like I said, they'll be bought, and I think some of their TV stuff and movie stuff will go to Disney. I think that's how it's gonna work. In that case, now you have people like Seth MacFarlane that can come out and be like, fuck Fox News. His show's been doing that for years, though, so not that surprised.
Mm-mm.
The poll was, are you boycotting Dunkin' Donuts? Yes or no? 76% said no. 24% said yes. I am saying yes, okay? It's my turn. I know I've told y'all on the show many times before, I never boycott anything. But in this case, since I would never eat at Dunkin' Donuts anyway, I'm just gonna hop in for the free prize, okay?
For the free prize.
I'm gonna do like a lot of y'all did with the NFL.
And Chick-fil-A.
When the NFL was trash and nobody felt like watching them boring ass terrible games anyway. But then it was like, oh, Kaepernick. Yeah, it's cause I'm so woke that, you know, Kaepernick, you know, not gonna watch the games no more. And I'm like, okay, alright, well, I mean, have you really been watching the games? I mean, I don't really watch the games anyway. Okay, all right. But you boycotting now. Yep, but this is a boycott. Well, that's what I'm doing to Dunkin' Donuts. Hell no Dunkin' Donuts. We got 8 comments on this. Man,
I had a lot to say.
GWG says, I'm definitely boycotting in the way that I drive past the Dunkin' Donuts every morning on the way to work and have never once stopped. Shanna was an amazing guest, and she came through with this Ty and Tan playlist on Spotify. Yes, for the Cloak and Dagger.
Mm-hmm.
KB says, the nearest Krispy Kreme is in D.C. while I'm out in Maryland. I've tried a couple times to get a Dublin, but the donuts are always stale. How is that possible when donut is in the goddamn name? I'm boycotting for sure. I agree. Miss Anderson says, we have so many Dunkin' Donuts here and they are always packed in the morning. They try to bring in Krispy Kreme and it was closed in 2 months. However, I do live in Long Island. I hate slavery. Yeah, I almost said something mean about people in Long Island. Oh wait, they racist. I can do that. Yeah, them crackers probably love them some damn cake donuts, don't they? What's all this hot dripping grease on this Krispy Kreme? I don't want this. Mrs. CT says, I favor Dunkin' Donuts before Starbucks. Yes, Dunkin' are less than fresh. Less than fresh? That's the kindest way to put it. Okay. And the coffee is more sugar than coffee. But I like sugar and barely acceptable donuts. I was a Starbucks fanatic for a few years. Just like Shanna said, DD is everywhere, and I didn't see my first Krispy Kreme until I came to the South. I took a hiatus, but I'll definitely take Dunkin' over everyone. Wow. So I get it. You're basically like the person that likes McDonald's over everything because that's what you grew up on or something. And you know what? Who am I to judge?
Who is me to judge?
I love The Walking Dead. And The Walking Dead is definitely the Dunkin' Donuts of TV shows.
It's terrible.
It's convenient, but it's there every week. I'm very sad that this incident happened with protests in foreign languages. I feel like it's more likely than this was an isolated incident for this specific location since it's franchised out so much. Even though they are a large company, I think people can just buy a location and bring in income. If nothing else, I hope Dunkin' Donuts comes out and admonishes the location for their intolerant behavior. If not, I have to find some new subpar donuts. Side note, y'all ever heard of Wawa? They had the best donuts. Okay, y'all, bye. Now see, here's
we've heard of Wawa. Wawa's not down here.
Okay, there's a few problems with your statement. Okay, number one, why would I believe Wawa has the best donuts when you just admitted to liking Dunkin' Donuts? Like, you already have a trash opinion, so I can't be letting you decide what the good donuts are. You are off of donut voting committee, okay?
What are you putting it off?
Right, that's number one. Number two, I don't know when this incident happened or whatever, but Dunkin' Donuts is not going to come out against it. And even if they did, I still would boycott them, okay? Like, this is like Jay-Z for me. I refuse to forgive them, okay? I don't care if they come out.
I'm keeping my power.
Right, I don't care if they come out and only employ Spanish-speaking staff from here on out and change their name to El Dunkin' Donuts.
La Dunkin' Donuts!
Yeah, if they change their name to La Dunkin' Donuts, I'm gonna still be out here like, nah, never forget, okay? So.
Hashtag never forget and smack you with that powder-ass cakey donut.
Mm-hmm. Also, I would rather get grocery store donuts than Dunkin' Donuts. That's how bad Dunkin' Donuts are, okay? You can go straight to the grocery store and buy some donuts. Charles says, not for any political reason, I'm a Krispy Kreme guy on those rare occasions where I get donuts. Arian says, I mean, if I never went in the first place, it's still a boycott, right? I'm counting it, Arian. I'm finally in the groups.
I will count it.
I finally found me one. Come join us.
Like the Krispy Kreme, I'm boycotting. Ain't no Krispy Kreme 50 miles from you.
Come join our grudge group, baby.
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. Yeah, yes. We about to get it in, dog.
Yes, with our 9 donut eating sales.
I say no because gross. I mean, that's a good enough reason. That's my real reason. Wait, are you boycotting? Oh, you're saying you're not boycotting because you would never eat there in the first place. Well, you should have said yes. This is your chance. That was your chance to get in with us. And
come on, join the group. One of us.
1706 sit down comedians. We talked about the BET Awards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Justin W. says, I really enjoyed the conversation about BET and how we don't deserve them, LOL. We hold them to these high, unrealistic expectations. Then we shit on them. Shaking my head. I know, man. Anti-blackness so real. This is all of us.
Yes, it is.
Like, and what's crazy, I've been feeling this way since I was in, like, college. I remember being like, I was at an HBCU and we watched BET pretty much all fucking day, y'all.
Yes,
like,
sir.
It was in the cafeteria every day. Everybody had it going in their room. And even back then, people still be kind of shitting on it. Like, man, this old bullshit. And I'm like, why do we feel that way about our shit? Like, is it really letting us down? Are we just like expecting this shit to be fucking
high art all the
race
time.
Lecture after race lecture, but at the same time we need to have BET uncut? Like, aren't we kind of all of this? Aren't we Creflo Dollar coming on at the BET uncut? Isn't that blackness in America too?
Come on, can't the preacher like a booty shake?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he wasn't talking about booty shaking, but I'm just saying blackness in America is a lot of things.
It is,
you know, it's the slow jams and the rap. Rap City.
It's the Quiet Storm.
Mm-hmm. It's that Caribbean show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all that shit, man.
106 and Park.
Mm-hmm. It's CC's World. It's all that shit.
Teen Summit.
Right. It's not just one thing. We want to act like it's just one thing, but it's, you know, that fucking BET sports show and all that other stuff. I mean, to me, I'm like, man, so many classic moments in my life that happened via BET. I just can't ever completely tune it out as like they never did nothing for the culture, man.
Right.
Not to mention some of the people only went on to be something because of them. Right. And they tried a lot of these ideas that motherfuckers said they should try, and motherfuckers ain't watch it in the numbers that they watch that white shit.
Come on.
You know, like, you had all them prank shows and what they do, Hits from the Street. Remember Hits from the Street? Like, motherfuckers wasn't fucking with Hits from the Street like that. Like, not up there. They wasn't fucking with it like Jamie Kennedy and fucking that nigga that looked like what the fuck is that nigga? Oh, Ashton Kutcher. They wasn't fucking with it the same as those shows. Like, and that's okay. I'm not even saying you should be hard on yourself for it, but just don't be hard on the station for doing the shit you said they do, and then you don't watch it and you put it on them. Put it on yourself. Anyway, Charles says, I think I need therapy too. The onslaught of black folks being killed by police, kids being ripped from their families at the border, SCOTUS decisions, and Justice Kennedy retiring, it's all too much. I can't hardly stay in the same room with all these white folks at work. Stats say half of them voted for Trump, and in South Carolina, it's probably more like 90%. I'm in a meeting last week, the only black guy as usual. Somehow Starbucks comes up. They're one of our customers. Mentioned I heard Starbucks is closing down 150 plus stores across the country, but they just opened a brand new one in our office. Then someone mentioned the racial sensitivity training. One guy didn't know the story. I related it. He said, that sounds excessive. I responded, you think? I get the police called on me walking around in my predominantly white neighborhood where I've lived for almost 20 years. Dead silence. Then they moved on. No acknowledgement whatsoever. I've worked with these guys for years. They couldn't even say, I'm sorry that happened to you, Charles. They just fucking ignored it.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't care.
Also, I don't know.
And then they might be like, well, I don't know what to say.
Right. I don't think white people are really good or trained at that shit to know what to say.
They not. They was like, I'd rather not say nothing than say something insensitive.
All the, like, especially white men, all the quote-unquote good white men are kind of like robots that have to do like this calculus on empathy because they haven't really experienced the marginalization that the rest of us have in most cases. Like, you know, there's some gay white men that may have, or trans men or something, like, they have gone through some things where they're like, oh yeah, yeah, I can at least relate this to some of my experiences. But for the most part, most cisgender white men have not had the experiences to even quantify what it must feel like. So, you know, some out, like, and I'm not even saying this as shade, like, this is some of my faves, quote unquote, of white dudes where I'm like, oh, this is cool, he seemed like a pretty cool dude. They're always doing the math in their head of like, okay, this is a point that a black woman is making, I don't want to do anything to counterman that point, so I'm just gonna say yes to whatever, or I'm just gonna say she's right, or I'm just gonna say, you know, well, yeah, that's definitely, I respect your feelings on that or whatever. They don't know what the fuck to say, because even if they disagree with that shit, which I'm sure that most of their life has been telling them to disagree with everybody else on all the shit that we're talking about, right? So even if they disagree with it, what can they really say? You know what I mean? Like, cause a lot of us would pull the, like, I'm a black man and you would do this shit to me, you know? So even if they do disagree and they are well intentioned and all that shit, it's not gonna come across like that to me. It's gonna come across like, who the fuck you think you talking to, for most of us. So I don't even know what the fuck, I don't even think the average white person is even prepared to hear you say that and go, man, I'm sorry that happened to you, and mm-hmm. blah, blah. I don't think they've been taught any of that shit.
No, and like you said, because you're in a working environment, like, some of them I think may not have cared, but some of them was like, I don't want to be in HR, so let's go silent and move on. Because right. If I say something sensitive, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is definitely a aspect, too, of, you know, us being able to have our bubbles. You know, within the bubble, people have all the right things to say.
Yeah.
You know, online, you can craft your image to say, I say the right thing every time. I never fuck up. And, you know, so it just becomes almost an unrealistic expectation that people would be able to handle it, you know. And I'm sure in this case, Charles probably did not expect this nigga to be able to handle this shit anyway. But it's so interesting, the empathy disconnect, that I don't even think they would have known what to say, or to even, if one of them would have said it, it still would have had the peer pressure of breaking rank amongst these other white people in this room. Man, I'm sorry that happened to you, Charles, you know, like, oh, what the fuck is Andy talking about? You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how the game is played. But yo, I mean, I obviously, I'm sorry that happened to you. It happened to all of us. But it's also just wild, because white people, even in this time with all this news and shit, and as much as it's affecting our mental health and stuff, you still got white people out here like, they're still beating these niggas up like flapjacks. Like, still.
They forever fucking surprised.
Forever surprised. How? Man, I thought that was a bit over. And that person didn't even say anything like inflammatory, really. What did he say? He thought they overreacted or something like, yeah, he said, that sounds excessive for them to call the cops on the black people, which we all agree. It is excessive. And because it hits something inside of us, it's like, excessive? Nigga, this shit happened every day. But he didn't really say anything that needed, that required that anger in us, but that anger is always there. It's always there, and it's hard to navigate without,
come on,
flipping on somebody, man. It's super hard. Tanya W42 says, I actually have a 35-hour work week. Yeah, because I asked, are there actual jobs where it's 9 to 5? Because I've heard that in the song, but I never really seen
people.
Yeah,
I'm never working 9 to 5.
A few people hit me up about this. They do have 9 to 5s.
Okay.
But most of them either work for like a union, or I just got a really good job, and they're
trying to tear down, y'all. Pay attention.
Yeah, Tanya has a 35-hour work week. It's considered to be full time by the company I work for. I work 9:30 to 5:30 with an hour for lunch. One of the reasons why I've been with them for over 23 years. Girl, I don't blame you. And then the poll was, do you think it's okay for Rod and Karen to call themselves comedians? Yes or no?
Okay. What'd they say?
34% said yes.
Mm-hmm.
3% said no.
And 60, y'all don't think I'm funny?
63% said, call yourself whatever you want, you earned it. So I count them along the yeses. So I say 97% of people was like, yeah, that's cool. Courtney says side eyeing the nose. Yeah, three people, who knows. Trapping is a hobby says, who the hell voted no? Dora says, I know exactly who those three no's came from too. One, that animal control guy, I guess he got over his compassion fatigue and is back on the internet. Two, that lawyer who definitely was not the animal control guy. Three, that estate lawyer who wanted to give you money after your Uncle Prime died. Melanie says, your faves could never. Rod and Karen are funny. I have laughed so hard, I peed a little, and it's not old age, you haters. Yes, they are comedians, and for the live show, I just may wear poise. Okay? Take whatever you need to do, beloved. Okay? Take care of yourself. Miss CT says, this is for the people who voted no. Rod and Karen make us laugh on a damn near daily basis. They aren't writing scripts. They aren't rehearsing time and time again what they're about to say on the mic. They're discussing daily activity, putting their spin on serious topics, but have somehow made that the tragic, comical. Somehow the ones that stand on the stage with the mic in their hand are the only ones that are able to call themselves comedians. Why? Cause that's what the status quo has been, man. Fuck the status quo. Create a new standard. Put two chairs on the stage and Rod and Karen become some of the funniest and most talented impromptu comedians we have behind the mic. Making five free shows a week, never mind several paid for shows, and yet every show is different. Every show has a signature. Every commentary is both thoughtful and also induces a chuckle with a slow Denzel tear. So what we talking about here? Stand-up comedians are better cause they sell out shows. Bitch, Rod and Karen selling out right now. I hope so. They better cause.
I know, fingers crossed.
Right. They better cause they got more money. But how is the brand doing? Do they have people hunting them down for a 5-minute skit? Do they have people calling into the show just to get some TBGWT fame? That's what I thought. Your fave could never get on my damn nerves. Oh, thanks, Miss CT.
Thank you.
Oh, she also wrote in this. This comment is for you too, Ryder Karen. You call yourselves whatever you want to call yourselves, but it's your actions that speak for you, and your work has shown that you are able to be comedic without using the use of props, costumes, or facial expressions. You make people laugh consistently and wholeheartedly. You literally get paid for your comedy with money from the premium subscribers like myself, as well as sponsors that invest in your ability to bring light, laughter, information, and joy to everyone who listens. And on top of all that, you have shown to be marketable for your comedy and content by selling over half of your first live show tickets. Rod and Karen, if you both aren't comedians, I'm not really sure who is. Thanks, management. Oh, that's very sweet of you. Thank you so much. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, as I like to say, call me whatever you want except late for dinner, lol. Your comedians in my book. So did that help balance your mind, Karen, on calling yourself a sit down comedian or podcast comedian, any of that stuff?
Yes.
Okay, cool. 1707, Let It Burn. Was
gotta let it burn.
Yeah, that was a good episode. Well, talk about that firefighter and stuff. Mm-hmm. We got 7 comments. Miss Anderson says, I love Donald Glover and could care less if he stole that song or not. But as soon as that song started playing, I thought it sounded like This Is America. Now I gotta go back through the episode, see if you heard Yanni or Laurel. I know. You know what's funny? My dad was playing some songs for me yesterday at his house. I guess Ed Sheeran getting sued by like some people dealing with the Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On. And I could hear it in the bass line immediately. It was like, oh, damn. Like, he about to, you know. But, you know, the new thing with the Marvin Gaye ruling and Robin Thicke is if they feel like you stole a vibe or, you know, and they use these computer programs to analyze it and shit. Mm-hmm. If they feel like you got a case, I mean, they can, you know, you might be able to win. So, who knows? I think Ed Sheeran fucked up because apparently he got a video of him transitioning from his song to Let's Get It On in the video. Like, he's like performing live and he just moves into Let's Get It On. I'm like, oh no.
That's what you don't do.
Right. But, yeah, I don't know. I like both songs and they both got like a vibe to them, but I don't know. Like, people was basically talking about like it was a fucking line for line copy of each song or something. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, it has some similar elements with that Afrobeat shit.
Correct.
Anyway. Greg says, I've been an aquarium maintenance company owner for 13 years. I've maintained aquariums for a living for 20 years. I've had clients who pay me thousands of dollars a year and just not believe what I tell them until a white guy confirms it. Client, hey, can you make my 5-foot-long carnivorous eel stop eating the other fish? Me, no, you can't. It's basically a wild animal. It would do what this species of eel does, which is eat everything. They are apex predators that eat sharks. If you want Nemo, you have to get rid of the eel. Client: I'll call Billy, my old maintenance guy, see what he says. Billy is white and they fire him because he sucked his job. 5 minutes later. Client: Billy says they eat everything, they're not compatible with anything. Do you think you could overfeed it and that will keep it from eating the fish? Me: no, for two reasons. One, they can and will throw up food so they can eat better food. Two, why eat previously frozen fish, shrimp, when you got fresh fish? Client: I'll call Billy and get back to you. Yo, I've actually heard stories of black owners that do stuff like this with clients in their house that literally hire basically a white stand-in,
mm-hmm,
white people to assuage their fears, and then the black person comes in and does the work.
Mm-hmm.
And you would never know the black person is actually the owner and not the like handyman or the maintenance person or the mm-hmm. supervisor. Like, you would never know until unless you know the black person told you themselves.
Right. And black people have even had white people like go speak on their behalf and actually represent them in their company and all types of shit to get businesses. I forgot, it was an article that came out a few years ago about all these companies that black people owned and nobody knew, and I only think a lot of them didn't even come out and say that they were black, but they own like these companies and everything around them is white, and they was like, no, I'll never tell, because if I do, I will fuck my money up.
Yep. MoviePass was basically secret about the owners for like over a year. Yeah. Anonymous says, I have found that people sometimes give extroverts a bad rap. I love being around people to the point that I'm left by myself after most of my friends are introverts, are finished with the night. I hope people understand that extroverts have hardships too with being lonely. I'm an empath too, and one of our traits is that we can see ourselves in all situations. Yeah, it's the worst. It's really the worst. Because there's people out here that legitimately mean me no fucking good, and I still cannot stop that part of me that's like, well, you know, they went through some things and maybe they just need some help, and you know, if they get therapy, and I'm like, why do I have that? It would be much easier to be able to be like, fuck that bitch, that motherfucker hate me, when I see this nigga I'm gonna punch him in his face. Like, it'll be so much easier to be that way. That seemed like a much nicer existence. Like, I wish I could just turn this shit off all the time. I'm just like, nope, not for this nigga, fuck them forever. But like, you have to be so egregious for me to do that. It's almost a waste of time.
Yeah, like it has to be like super egregious for me to get there.
Yeah, I'll still be like talking it out and like parsing shit out with Karen, like, well, what if they meant this? Well, what about that? Well, could it be this? Meanwhile, you know, Karen's more like, no, that motherfucker's crazy, just leave them alone. I'm like, you right. I mean, she be right, I just can't.
And I think I'm more, and like I said, this is a person, and I am empathetic. Please don't get me wrong. I am. But I think just life and experience and me just, I've learned a lot of people's traits from actually being used a lot. So I can kind of pick up like, no. That don't mean you're no good, and they're not going to change on certain things. I have not seen any change, so no. And I think that is my own. Everybody has their self-protection. Yeah. That's my self-protection. Nip that shit in the bud.
Nah, my intuition be telling me. Maybe I'm not explaining it right, but even knowing all the shit I know, mm-hmm, I still have like a heart for a lot of people where I'm like,
I do too.
I must suck for them to be that fucking paranoid or that crazy or that lonely or whatever the fuck it is that makes them, mm-hmm, you know, like, and it's, and you know, and not just stuff about me, but just, you know, that's the first thing that comes to mind. But it's just like, man, it must be sad to have a life like that.
Yeah,
you know?
And I've grown to, I can understand your plight,
right,
and still stay separate.
Yeah, for sure. I can too. I mean, it's not like then I go and now we're gonna be friends again. I'm not gonna set myself up to be abused. But shit, that's where that introvert part come in. That's the best part, because I'm like, oh no, I can do this all by myself. Bye. I love when motherfuckers cancel a dinner. But but nah, that thing where it's like, you know, where I still kind of feel for them despite them being shitty or whatever.
Mm, I do too.
That part sucks. I wish I could kind of
turn it off
sometimes.
Yeah,
or more than I do.
Yeah, and I completely, like I said, I've learned to balance that, because I completely understand that, because at the end of the day, something that people will never admit, caring and being concerned and actually having feelings and shit like that on certain topics and certain people, it fucking sucks. Yeah. And people don't want to admit, if you extend yourself out like that, you open yourself up to be hurt. And people are afraid to be hurt, or they were hurt years ago, and now there are things I'll never be hurt again. So they just constantly knock and move everybody away from them, because that's their protection mechanism. I completely understand that.
Yeah, our empathy is selective, basically, but you know, sometimes it feels more involuntary than others. You know,
correct.
Anyway, my friends will say, I could never be that type of person. And when I say I can, they look at me like I'm crazy. Even the most atrocious types are all in one step away. And I recognize I'm no better than them given the situation. Mm. Yeah. I don't know if I could. I don't know. So I know what you're saying, though. We ain't that far from each other, and I can agree on that. Like some shit niggas do, I'd be like, never me. Nope. Could never. But then I feel you, that there's some shit where you like, man, if some things have been different in my life, maybe.
Right,
maybe.
Right. If it were the right versus left, who knows?
Right. Falcons Diva says, hey, Rod and Karen. Rod, I had to laugh at your story about wearing your Black Twitter CSI shirt. I was actually in North Carolina for the first time I wore my hoodie. I always walk around about going to Charlotte to visit my family, but to be more specific, my aunt lives in Granite Quarry, North Carolina. If you're not familiar, it's a small town next to Salisbury. Anyway, I was handling business around town, and the white people were so nice and helpful. One lady at the bank was giving me all kinds of information. Just like that Eddie Murphy's kid.
Right?
She was like, I'm not supposed to give you this, but I was amazed because in all the years that my aunt and uncle lived there, I never received customer service at that level. Then I noticed the lady looking very intently at the badge on my hoodie, and I realized what was going on, LOL. Mm-hmm. Every last one of these empath traits you listed apply to me. It's funny because this is the first time I read one of these lists and agree with everything, right? That's like reading my soul. I was like, oh God, I do that. One, let's see, I have two sisters and I'm in the middle. One is a victim and the other is a drama queen. Oh, I always screen their calls. Come on. Recently, I had to interact with them more than usual due to family stuff, and I had to put our group text on Do Not Disturb and just check it periodically when I'm emotionally ready. Another great show as always. Yeah, you gotta protect yourself, man. Like, because if not, it'll suck all the fun and shit out of your life.
Yes, it will. You won't be no good people. To nobody.
Right. Anonymous says, I love when you play the older Spider-Man cartoon theme music. Is it meme music now? It always makes me laugh. Danielle says, I don't think This Is America sounds like the other song. The only similarities I hear are the Afrocentric beat. Everything else pretty much stands on its own. Dog, that's how I felt too. But, I mean, I accept that I must be tripping. I accept that I don't know. It's, I guess maybe I've listened to This Is America too much, and I'm like, to me, I'm just like, I hear that song like, oh yeah, I know exactly every word of this song, how it's gonna go, all of it. And then I hear the other song like, oh, this is cool too, but I would never conflate that. I would never be like, these niggas.
Me either.
You know, I would never think they were by the same artist on the same label, nothing. Correct. Like that. Anyway, when y'all got to the black firefighter having police called on him and started making jokes about playing those burning songs, it had me in tears laughing. Then you played Ohio Players and that took me out. I had to cover my mouth from laughing so hard in order not to wake my family up. I haven't laughed like that all week. Thanks for that. Oh, that's dope.
You're welcome.
Tanya W42 says, I totally relate to the introvert traits, except for the fear of intimacy one. But emotional vampires are real and so toxic. I think the most annoying to me are the poor me folks, but they are all bad. Yes. The emotional vampires are trash because, I shouldn't even say trash. They must need that energy for something, but they definitely rub me the wrong way and suck the life out of me. Like, mm-hmm. And I can feel the motherfuckers coming from day one. Like the first interaction we have, I'm like, oh, this is gonna suck for me. Like, this is gonna always be another fire to put out, another fucking, like, long ass story to listen to, another, mm-hmm. Isn't this so sad? Look at this tragedy. Like, every fucking goddamn day, nigga. Like, another person did you wrong, another person not your friend. Like, nigga, it's you, dog. Like, you gonna have to get a new perspective. Like, you don't have no good days. You know what I mean?
I tell you, no good days, dog.
Like, shit, nigga, you the only thing in common is you. You the only common factor in all
you
this shit.
You and sadness.
Like, everybody be betraying you, nigga. It's you. what the fuck. So yeah, that's the worst, man, because them niggas don't never stop talking. There's never enough time you can spend with them to make them feel better. Every time you leave, it's like you leaving this nigga and they sad and you sad. It's a lot. But yeah, I can't remember all of them, but the narcissist is pretty annoying. The victim one is the worst. Yeah, that one might be the worst. I think, is that what you said was the worst? Emotional vampire. Yeah, the poor media, the victim ones might be the worst. Do you think Kanye explained his slavery comments better?
No.
Okay. Well, the options were yes, I get it now. Two, I always understood it, or no, I still don't get it. 0% said yes, I get it now. So I guess it didn't help re-explaining it.
That's what I thought.
17% said, hey, I always understood what he was talking about.
I'm glad you did.
83% says no, I still don't get it. Brooklyn Shoebae says, fuck Kanye, I'm over that nigga. I'm not saying he's canceled anything, but I'm saying I'm not wasting emotional energy on his foolish. I don't blame you. I mean,
I understand.
At this point, who's still making a case for that nigga?
What? Come on.
Like, you, that's a lot to, like, you take on a lost cause trying to,
that is a whole
trying to advocate for Kanye at this point, dog. You just gotta let it go. Sorry, in my head, I just imagine somebody still trying to be like, but nah, son, see, if you look at him like, nah, at some point, it's on him to fix that shit. Last episode was civility. Peaches 749 says, preach, Queen Karen, preach, Genghis Rod. Genghis Rod, I like that, thank you. It's like you're reading my mind. Get out of my head, laugh my ass off. I'm a proud premium member. I've been on the Blackout Test podcast hole since I jettisoned the app, and I go through your gorgeous webpage for all the premium listening. Thank you again, Rod, for your patience and kind assistance. Oh, you the one you couldn't find the stuff on Stitcher or whatever. You're trying to listen to the premium stuff on Stitcher. And I tried to walk you through the RSS feed on the app. Mm-hmm. By the way, guys, if y'all need help with that, email me. Like,
let us know.
I want as many people to get their money's worth. So if you are listening, now on the website, there are instructions. So it probably save you some time, but log in if you're premium to the blackouttips.com. At the top, it says TBGWT Premium. Click that and then scroll to the bottom of the page. There's instructions with screenshots and everything for how to put the RSS feed on your phone.
Right.
And the password and everything is right there with the username. Like, and it doesn't use the same username that you use to log in. So it's important to read the instructions thoroughly.
Correct.
But after you do that, hey, you never have to worry about it again. You get it right to your phone.
Right.
Every day you can pick and choose what you download. Mm-hmm. And the only thing is I changed the password once. I'm really overdue to change that password, but I changed the password, you know, a few times a year to make sure that, you know, people don't freeload too long. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so let me know if you need me to walk you through it. theblackguywhotips@gmail.com, theblackguywhotips@gmail.com, and I'll walk you through it. Please keep doing what you are doing. You guys are the best and the best of the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
D. Ramsey, PH Dunn says, Rod and Karen, the first 45 minutes of this podcast is all true. I'm tired of minorities dying over stupid shit. I'm tired of our government doing the most. Social media is the worst, especially for those of us who are, for those who are ignorant, racist, bigoted, etc. I love having you two around, to make sense of this shitty world. Thank you, PH Dunn.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think just adding, like, just especially like the last few weeks, it's just been so much turmoil between political shit and then, you know, even just socially, you know, that XXXTentacion dude dying and the way people was on that, and you know, Kanye and that stupid shit. Like, it's just like everybody's been on edge, and I don't know what's causing us all to be on edge, but it was cool to hear that I wasn't alone in this, and that Karen wasn't alone in this, and that the audience isn't alone in this. Cause, you know, while it might not be the funniest part of the show, it's definitely an important part of the show. And it's when it starts seeping into like personal conflicts with people that you know, people that you're friends with, it's time, like for me, I'm like, I gotta step back, cause I don't wanna be walking around like a Drake album where all looking around at all my friends is trash and shit. Which one of these niggas gonna fuck my bitch? Like,
oh Lord, oh no, oh no.
Yeah, I've been listening to this album and it's like, you know, I don't wanna be the kind of person sitting around like, none of these niggas my real friends. Like, it's just so week, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of had a bad experience in the last year with, you know, with a, I don't know what I would even call it at this point, but a relationship, a friendship that just went sour out of the blue. And it really affected me to the point where I was like, well, who the fuck is, like, who's just here for like the recreational aspect of it, or the just, you know what I'm saying, the social aspect of it, and who's here for us, who knows us, who cares about us, you know what I mean? So like, that shit can get in your head, and then you have all this shit we're all dealing with, we're all in constant turmoil. And I watch how people talk to each other, man. Right. Like, even when we friends, it just gets in there, you know what I'm saying? Just, it comes out. And I often don't think it's the shit that's really about us. I mm-hmm. really think a lot of the conflict is not even personal, but nope. It becomes personal conflict because we're dealing with so much shit. So you know, that was something that I've been feeling like, yo, I need to find a way to decompress and step back, and you know, and never, and I've been doing it more this year, but like, find a way to make those personal relationships more personal. Like, hey man, what's up, let me hit you up on the phone rather than try to hash this shit out, you know, on Twitter or in type or even on text sometimes. Or hey man, let's, you know, I've gone out with my friends a few more times this year than normal, like mm-hmm. hey man, let's go to a bar, let's go watch a game, let's do something. Because I think we're all going through it, particularly those of us that are in marginalized communities, we're all going through it. But social media makes it seem like you're going through it together when you can be actually going through it alone. And if you don't like go out and remind yourself that these are real people and shit, it can fuck with your brain, in my opinion. And agreed. It definitely was bothering me. You know, I use myself as an example. So that's why I'm glad that y'all, you know, that people at least understood it. Dear Rod and Karen, this is Brooklyn Shoebag. Thank you so much for this episode and sharing your feelings with us. I'm an angry person. I've been angry since I was a child, and not really knowing why or feeling I was able to express it. I grew up in a house where things were not talked about or made funny. I always grew up in a home where children just keep their mouth shut. Luckily, I had teachers and counselors in high school to help me, or I would have been expelled from high school because of my angry outbursts. As I got older, I could recognize what made me angry, and I had an outlet for it. Then I developed depression in my early 20s while in college, but I didn't realize that until I was diagnosed nearly 10 years later after a suicide attempt. That was 17 years ago, and I still have bouts of depression and anxiety episodes, mostly triggered by outside forces like the dissolution of my marriage, overbearing financial woes, and yes, the election of Donald Trump. I think that last one, a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And when I heard about the election results the morning after the election, I had a panic attack. I cried, and it was over 2 hours late for work because I couldn't deal with that reality. I've been in therapy off and on since 1996. I'm proud, loud and proud about going to therapy and taking antidepressants because I want black people to know that it's okay to seek mental health assistance. I've seen so many cases over my lifetime where black people think that all it takes is tough love, strict discipline, and prayer to cure mental illness, learning disabilities, and other mental disabilities. I don't want people thinking seeking help is a sign of weakness. That is something that I actually talk about in therapy. Yeah, it's funny because like, a dude that a lot of people are praising right now, Terry Crews, which they should be praising, I'm glad for it, but they praise him because he's this big quote-unquote masculine dude that everyone's decided is the alpha male type of dude, and he's allowed himself to be vulnerable and transparent and shit like that. And you know, and I think that's is good, but like, we would not, or I see less people applauding that on a personal level for folks, you know what I mean? So like, if you're being transparent about, you know, therapy, depression, suicide, these things, it's a lot less, like, it's more like, well, that's just life, nigga, get over it, you know, you gotta go testify before Congress, and then it's like, what a hero, right? But it's kind of interesting to see that juxtaposition. Every day since Trump's election, I feel emotionally defeated and angry and easily triggered. Microaggressions, both racial and sexual, used to roll off my back, now I fly off the handle. I need to tell that person in real life or online why they're wrong. Hell, it's caused so many arguments with my boyfriend because he is usually in the line of fire. He's a white appearing Latin man, and he just says stuff that is a reflection of his privilege, and I've just run out of patience to be accepting or understanding. Like, I mean, but that's also the person you're sharing your life with, you know what I mean? So that's gotta be, that, like, yeah, that's gotta be frustrating for you, and it's gotta probably be nerve-wracking for him if he's real about it. And that's something y'all probably would have to both work on, like maybe some couple counseling type shit. He need to, you know, maybe he needs some to educate himself on some things, like, but yeah, that then turns into work for you in a place where you live, you know, like the politicians and pundits on TV. I just want to yell at them, shut the fuck up with that bullshit. Okay, I've ran it so long, I just wanted to let you know that I feel you. You too, dog.
Thank you.
P.S. Three Guys On had an excellent episode last week about mental health and unpacking one's angers and feelings. Dominic Rivera was expressing his journey from a childhood of abuse and being in a place to help his own son to express his anger. You might want to check it out. First of all, I always check it out. Mm-hmm. I love Three Guys On. I listen to them every week.
Me too.
Never miss a show. And that episode was dope. You know, that's like the second or third time Dom's been on there and they got into a conversation about some real shit. And I appreciate it because, as a black dude, man, like, it's definitely a double, it's a double-edged sword, man. Like, all the shit that they praise us for is also the same shit that can, like, fuck us up really bad. Like, the same shit that they act like makes us so dope is the same reason they shoot us when the police see us. You know what I mean? Like, it's some real fucked up shit, and I don't want to celebrate it, but I'm not, but I also know that is my culture, and I won't deny my culture and my heritage, but at the same time, like, there has to be changes made within the culture and within ourselves to not glorify or to revel in some of this negativity. And part of that is the idea that you can't be vulnerable, man. You know, so it was cool to hear him talk about that. My favorite part of his story was when he talked about learning how to cry. One day his son came in and asked him why he was crying. His response was, because I can. Yeah, that was some deep shit, man. So I love when that dude is on there because it's always good conversation. But, you know, like I said, I think it's just important for people to be able to have space for that, because, you know, we always say we want to see that from dudes and shit, but then when they do it, it's like, don't you pat them on the back, don't notice it, don't talk about it. But half of the problem is when it comes to that kind of emotional shit with men is we don't acknowledge it, we don't talk about it, and we just pretend it didn't happen. And I don't think people understand that that's half of the problem, is that we shit like that happens and we just go, I don't look that nigga in the eyes, no, that nigga was crying. And that's fucked up, because it takes you back to that place where you're like, let me get my man on, and back to the negative shit. So I don't know, I liked it. Let's see. Falcon Diva says, I really needed this episode. I left a quick comment on the poll, but yeah, life is real hard right now. First, Karen, you may have heard this already, but check to see if your company has EAP, Employee Assistance Program. My first 6 sessions with my therapist are free with my company's EAP. Anyway,
okay.
I celebrate your decision to get therapy. I've been listening to Therapy for Black Girls podcast for a while now. I came in to it 2018, determined to get a therapist, and I went to Dr. Joy's Therapy for Black Girls directory to find one. Then I would get busy and forget. Then I would listen to another podcast episode and look again. It was a silly cycle. Then my uncle passed and it seemed like my entire life went into a spiral. Dealing with all that and the family drama that came with it, shit started breaking down. The house, car trouble, you name it. So now I was at a point where I needed a therapist. So I made a list. I actually had a name and a number on a post-it note in my wallet. I drove around with that for about a week before I made the call. It wasn't that I was scared of anything, just that stuff kept coming up. Then I had a when it rains it pours moment and I stopped playing around a call. That was Monday. With all that has happened this week in our country, I hope I don't talk this woman's ears off tomorrow, Saturday. Speaking of all that's happened this week, I'm so sick of weak Democrats. I was so appalled at how quick some of those mofos were to distance themselves from Auntie Maxine. Man, listen, when at this point this shit becoming more popular than the fucking I Had a Dream speech, but that white moderate letter that MLK wrote, that like, let black women lead. Black woman, you need to sit your ass down and be quiet. I don't know what's wrong with you. What you think, you leading some shit? We gonna just do what Trump say, okay? Don't be mean about it. They spoke out more about her comments than the shit going on in the Supreme Court this week. Just not just that, y'all, they spoke out more about her comments then when Trump was talking about shooting people in the street, telling people to beat up protesters, and threatening people.
She was stating facts.
how are you? I know how, but you know what I'm saying, rhetorically, how? Anyway, just and to think I used to donate to these mofos. I want my money back. Thanks for such an awesome episode. I really appreciate your transparency. Thank you. It's also why I say black people not really Democrats. Like, that's the party that we're affiliated with for survival, but like, black people don't really, like, if that party truly represented what black people think, man, none the white people be afraid to say some shit like that about Auntie Maxine. Classic R&B lover says, Rod and Karen, everything you said this episode was on point. From our need for therapy, I've been building myself up, seeing if my insurance covers it, and scheduling an appointment. I already know I want a black woman therapist if possible.
That's what I said,
because I think I might just lose my mind in Trump's America. As for the vote of 2016, I freely admit I was one of those people in the primary who was not thrilled with Hillary, but I was never a fan of Bill Clinton, so some of that carried over to her. Despite this, I knew that if for no other reason than Trump's blatant racism and Supreme Court judicial appointments, and as quiet as it's kept, because in some ways it's even more important, the lower court appointments, which are also for life and which shape the landscape for laws of the land, well before any case makes it to the Supreme Court, because so few cases make it that far. That Trump could not be allowed to be elected, believe me, we are just beginning to see the damage that the Trump presidency is going to wreak on this country and the world. What shocks me is that so few people really understand the impact of the rulings of this session. It will take years, but people will one day realize that the anti-union decision spells the end of the working class and middle class people are so fond of speaking of. The ruling will prove, think about this, white working class, fuck your union. The ruling will prove especially devastating for black people, as union members, membership was that, what granted us entry into both classes. Karen was dead on when she said that required work hours will increase. Vacation days, sick days, medical coverage, and pensions. 401ks are on the way out as well. We are screwed. Mm-hmm. Sorry this is so long. Feel free to skip it. Nope. You wrote it. We read it. EVE says, as someone who literally cried herself to sleep on election night, I have suffered from anxiety and depression over this administration more than any other, because all the harm he's done will have lasting ramifications. It's gotten to the point where I have to stay offline and stop watching the news as much as I can, because I can't do it without stressing out. Every day it seems to be a new issue, which is why listening to your show helps, because it filters through the news to me in a way that's more tolerable. Yo, that's why I watch The Daily Show. Real talk. I still watch The Daily Show. I'm not getting into the whole woke phase shit. Like, them niggas don't really support anything. Fuck them niggas. But as far as Trevor Noah, that dude is one a much better interviewer than Jon Stewart was. Like, that's facts. That's just, as Sinbad said, that's just the facts. And also, they're still doing a good job of using humor to illustrate the important stories of the week and the hypocrisy around them in a good way. And just like it happened under Jon Stewart, because see, a lot of people don't remember the start of Jon Stewart, they remember the end. The same way it happened with Jon Stewart, where he tried to start off on that, well, isn't it kind of like both sides are kind of wacky out here these days? America has shifted so right that Trevor Noah's essentially going on there every night like, these white people are fucking crazy. And I was like, and I knew it was gonna happen. I remember telling people with the Philando Castile clip they had, I was like, yeah, this dude is basically getting an education in American racism and why it's not like South Africa. And he thought it was kind of a monster that he, in my opinion, that he knew, because he's like, oh, I came from a place that dealt with the similar type of racism shit.
It's not the same.
And he's basically been getting this one-on-one and like, no, American racism, way different. Way different. And your shit wasn't bad, but yeah, there's some other shit over here. And it ain't like, you can't just talk to these motherfuckers.
Mm-mm.
It was funny. I made this tweet saying, I like the way that they use the alliterative, names for the, white women that keep calling 911 on, black people, like Permit Patty and Pool Paula and stuff like that. Delta Debbie is the latest one. Anyway, so, I said that, right? And this dude retweeted it and was like, we need to stop making these people famous, right? Why did I click on his bio, Karen, and he works for The Daily Show and Rundown? I said, nigga, didn't y'all play these clips on y'all show, and didn't y'all interview Tommy Lauren? Like, how you gonna stunt on me? Y'all got way more reach than me, and y'all did make him famous. Like, come on now. he deleted the tweet, but it was so funny. So he must have forgot what he worked for a second. Like,
you gotta take, he did.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't even mad at him. Like, he should delete that shit just to keep his job. They might fuck around and be like, what you mean? Don't talk about these bitches. We need this money.
Come on.
Okay, Trevor got these jokes. Let's go. Write these jokes. Anyway. At this point, I'm seeking therapy to work through my issues to figure out how to cope. But in the meantime, heavily invested in self-care. I binge watch shows on Netflix, go to the movies, go get pedicures and massages. I spend more time with my family. I just have to do things that don't stress me out. I pray that we all survive this mess, because if people thought these 2 years were crazy, I think it's going to be get worse. Hadn't even been 2 years.
It feels like fucking eight.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, man, I've been doing a lot, like spending more time with family and close friends and shit too, because like I said, on top of the shit that happened just last year and stuff, it's just been kind of like, I need to make sure to connect to the people that are important to me and close to me, because it don't take much. I don't think it take much these days for motherfuckers to like go from best friends to worst enemies, because there's so much animosity just in the atmosphere anyway. You ain't got to do shit. You know, like motherfuckers will make, you don't get to own anyone's story, like anyone's narrative, but motherfuckers will find a reason. Like it'll happen if they want it to happen. So, you know, it's you gotta make sure your crew stays close knit, man. You tight with your peoples. All right, the poll was, have you thought about seeing a therapist since the Trump election? Yes, no, or I already was in therapy. 20% already in therapy. 15% have not thought about it since Trump's election. 65% yes. 65, that's a huge number. That is a lot of us.
Yeah, they've done studies to say, particularly with black people, they said they've seen a huge increase in black people going to therapists.
Mike in London says, I am a therapist. Okay, Mike, you don't count. You're not even over here. Tanya says,
you don't count.
Yeah. Tanya says, I've been so angry since the election that I started to feel small in my own thoughts. I had to stop listening to 45 speak, because all I could think of is if he was dead, I wouldn't have to hear him and that BS. But that won't really help, because the VP is worse and the line of succession is complete trash. I'm still angry, and I think we should all be angry. Our country is stealing kids, reversing years of progress and becoming international pariahs. All because we had a black president, and we're about to have a woman president. I need the therapy so I can be open and present for the people I actually care about. Finally, a hearty F you to the 53%, the straight white male, and the I'm voting third party to show them people. Yeah, like, it's wild, because even the things we do to like escape or treat ourselves are like still spending money and capitalistic shit, but you know, it's how people cope. I don't know what to tell you. Like, everybody's trapped in this human condition.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but I feel you though. Like, it's infuriating. And see, the thing I don't want to do is shut down and stop paying attention to everything, because I think that's what a lot of people do, is like retreat into this. Like, I mean, you still pay attention to politics, and I'm never going to be that person, because, you know, one, survival. But then two, I'm not built to not be aware, but I'm definitely not some superhuman that can be completely subjected to atrocity after atrocity and not be affected.
Correct.
And it's very hard, because the lines blur into personal life so fucking easy. Like, it's just so easy to be like, why am I fucking angry today? You know, like, some days I just wake up and be like, today I'm gonna start my day and I'm gonna just let all of the angry, bad, like negative energy just go and start from zero and see if I can do that. You know, and it's hard. You know, it's hard. Like, I had a day like that Friday, but I did it. You know, like, I woke up, I was like, I'm gonna just, like, I don't feel happy, but I'm gonna let the negative thoughts go for a little bit and just try to concentrate on things that, you know, on moment to moment things that keep, you know, that just keep you here, you know, not on some suicide shit, but just like keep you present in the moment.
Right.
That's what I mean. Like, I went and saw Kyrie Irving's movie, you know, Uncle Drew, and spent some time with my mom and dad and Karen and stuff. Like, you know, just keeping present like that shit matters to me, and I think at least that's what I use to get through. Falcons Diva says, I had my first appointment this Saturday. I feel like I've been on edge since November 2016. And when you added my divorce and the death of my uncle dad in the past year, I went from wanting to see a therapist to needing to see a therapist. Even when I'm taking a break from my family shit and hanging with my friends, it's common for 45 antics to come up in the conversation. And I feel like I can't get away from the negative. Yep. Boogum Shoebay says, I was in therapy to help me process my divorce. I started in the spring of 2016, but by November 2016, half of all my sessions have been about Trump and his administration. I also started taking anti-anxiety meds to help me increase an acute stress and anxiety. I've been on edge and easily triggered by everything since Trump. I don't think you're alone, man. I think it's a lot of us. Like, I'm glad we had that episode and talked about it, to be honest. Just because of that. And also, man, like on that episode, you know, I talked about dealing with shit where like you don't feel like this issue is the problem, but is like things are underlying shit and it's getting worse and stuff. And you know, I was able to like talk to somebody on the phone this week that, you know, I felt like we was having a conflict or at least misunderstanding or something, and that shit like mattered so much to me. You know, I think a lot of times it's easy to be in denial about that kind of stuff, like mm-hmm. fuck this person or whatever, just that's their problem. You know, it's like that thing that we do where you kind of shirk responsibility of any involvement, or you make it so that it's always on them or whatever, which isn't necessarily fair, because like I said, there's everybody has their own narrative to things that happen. And then because so much of shit is public now, you know, like Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, Instagram, yeah. So much shit is public. It's like, how I'm supposed to interact with you without an audience in mind? Because I think having that audience a lot of times makes people kind of play it up for, I want to win this argument, rather than I want to understand where you're coming from and I want you to understand where I'm coming from, and we could build off of that. So it was cool, because you know, if I'm going to talk about the things that are negative, I want to talk about the things that are positive too, and maybe these are things that help other people listening. It was cool to talk on the phone to the person and be like, hey dog, this is how I felt about it. Oh, okay, that's how you felt about it. All right, cool. Well, you know, let's take it from here, and this is what I'm gonna do in the future, and this is, and I would, you know, and let's clear up any like any influence of like, was this about me, was this, because you know, with sub tweeting, sub booking and all this shit now, like it don't take much, man. Like I said, it don't take much. You could be talking about a fucking reality TV show and somebody could look at that and be like, this motherfucker, what, I'm Cardi B now, bitch. No, I did not punch nobody in the head. And it's like, oh, I wasn't talking about you. No. So it's that kind of thing that, like I said, man, and I think, and I'm not saying just other people, me too. Like, it just, you feel kind of paranoid sometimes because of how shit is going on around us all the time.
Right.
Every, turn on, like, don't do this for real, but if you ever do this, you know what I'm talking about. Put it on MSNBC for 10 minutes. That's MSNBC, the good one.
Right.
Every story is a breaking news story.
Every fucking story.
Down on the bottom of the screen, everything's scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Things are flashing.
Yeah, they've actually done studies on that, talking about how they usually didn't have all that shit popping on your screen, and how over time they just started putting all types of shit running across your screen all the time. So your attention is a little bit of every, it's almost, I don't say manic on your screen, but you got like, they're talking about the breaking news, is the breaking news is one little scroll, then below it is a running breaking news, then on the side you might have your stocks, you know, then on top you might have another running thing. So you're looking at the screen and it's literally like 65 things running at you at once. It's overload.
Yeah, it adds to the tension. And correct. I think our Facebook feeds are like that in some cases, our Twitter feeds are like that in some cases, and it's just so easy to get caught up in this constant fight or flight emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaks over to other shit, and I, you know, I do my best to try to keep it from that, but I'm human too. You know, there's, you know, you're reading extra in the shit. You're reading, you're saying extra in the shit. You're, you know, it's, it, you know, you're not being careful with what you're saying. It's difficult, you know, and we all fall short, but I feel like real relationships allow for some, hey man, let's talk about this and okay, cool. I see where you're coming from. Boom, boom. We could set that straight. Let's make sure we're good more than whatever the fucking ego that it feeds for people online and shit. Cause you know, you see people fall out and what do? I'm gonna collect my Pokemon friends and we about to go ride on you and you collect your Pokemon friends and we riding on each other and like it's some fucking gang fight, but with the internet and shit, like I don't want to be involved in any of that shit. So it's kind of, you know, it was kind of refreshing. And I, you know, like I said, it's amazing what actual talk can do compared to a lot of the shit that goes on that passes for conversation, but it's not real. You correct. Know? So anyway, let's see. We got emails. Miss CT writes in, feedback, Karen's Fro. As always, you all have great content, but I'm really here to compliment Karen's Fro.
Oh.
This is the first time that I've watched the live video in a while. And I think it was a different color last time. Karen, your hair is looking good, girl. Really healthy, really thick. I know how you are good to do a I know how you are good to do a big little chop at a moment's notice. So I thought this would be a good time to mention it. Thank you as always.
Thank you. Thank
it has
you.
Been looking good over there.
I like it a lot. I think I'm just gonna let it grow out. But I have heard how sometimes people do like a second big chop, because, after your hair is natural for a while, when you do the second big chop, you've trained your hair. So the second time it grows naturally and in its natural format, and you know how to take better care of it. So it actually grows actually better and stronger a lot of times. I haven't decided about that yet, but as of right now, I'm just gonna let it grow and just do what it do. Not sure how big, you know, because sometimes I see natural frozen get really big and really, really pretty, you know. So who knows? I might be out here like, I'm every woman. I don't know, you know. Who knows?
The next one is Middle Age and Asian, episode 1706. My God, preach everything y'all said. Yes, just yes. That's all I got to say about that.
Oh, just short and sweet.
Thank you. Appreciate you. I know we're getting close to the break. Okay, I'll see if I can do one more. Let me see how long this one is. All right, here we go. This is from Kiana, who says, hey, how much will people eat? Oh, the blackout till 1708. How much will people eat of you until you are no more and then say you are delicious? And people will consume you until you are no more and then look at you like, why do you not have more to give me? Roderick and Karen, mother effing Morrow. Rod, I know you're an atheist, but nigga, when I tell you that's a word, good Lord, I just can't. I'm done. I'm going to weep. I feel seen. Love you all, Kiana. I'm glad. Reach out and turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. No, I'm just kidding. Thank y'all. Let me go to the next session real quick. We'll read the last two emails. We'll be right back.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Someone had taken a transcript or had transcribed a portion of the show, like just a couple of things I said last week, and they had taken, like, you know how you can take a picture of the words, a screen cap or whatever, and put mm-hmm. it on Twitter, you know, under our hashtag TPGWT. And I was reading it like, who is this smart, savvy, deep intellectual person right here? This person right here, now they need a show, you know,
they need a show.
Like, they know I would listen to their podcast. I was like, oh, that's me. Oh wow, look at me.
I am good.
Let's see. Laketa says, just another email saying I love you guys. Hi Rod and Queen Karen, there are lots of things to say, but I'm getting old, so I may not remember it all. Winky face. When I first discovered you via the Struggle Bus podcast over a year ago, I said, I'll just download two episodes. Yeah, shout out to the Struggle Bus. Shout out to me never getting back to them about having them on the show. I got to
get on top of that, Secretary.
I'm doing a good job, y'all. We getting guests now, okay? I've been reaching out, emailing people. I'm gonna fix this.
Yeah, the secretary got bogged down, got behind.
I'm gonna reach out to Catherine Heller. We gonna Thank fix you. It.
We gotta make it happen.
I said I'll just download two episodes to get the gist of the show and see if I like it, etc. When I heard Karen say the infamous and still fuck you 53%, I ain't forgot. I knew I had found a podcast home. It's funny to it's funny the things that y'all be like, yes, fuck them. I mean, I love y'all now. It's funny to look back and see how influential you and Karen have been in my life and so many others' lives. You two have pushed me toward being my better self. Karen has taught me that angry black woman is not always the default. Even when we have been clearly wrong, the most powerful thing out of Karen's mouth that spoke to me directly. People fail to realize that living up to someone else's idea of what you should be or do can be an exhausting, stressful life. That wasn't a direct quote, but the gist. I almost cried at that simple truth in it. When I always live a life of supposed to's based on what others wanted from me or from me. College, marriage, kids. Yet the next steps, a good job, an easy life, financial comfort, didn't come as easy as it was supposed to. I'm sure I already knew that I didn't have to live my life based on expectations of others, but hearing out of Karen's mouth, woo. And Rod, listening to you all over this last year and change, you have given me so many words that I need to express my frustration, especially politically. I love your cool, even head. I know you always hear someone say, I don't always agree with you. Of course, that's impossible. I said it in an earlier email voicemail to you guys. While I don't always agree with you, I found a handful of times when I knew I should agree with you. Oh man, but my own agenda and pettiness would not allow it. So then I have to gather myself, check my own biases, agendas, emotions, and finally, but Rod was right though. Oh man, I appreciate that. Seriously, cause I do that sometimes too. Like it's been quite a few things. I listen to a lot of podcasts too. I'm like, man, come on, is it really this bad? And then you listen, you're like, fuck, it is this bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and like honestly, dog, I just want to be clear on this cause I think in the position we're in, people probably assume that, you know, that that's what we want. But I mean, speaking for myself, I'm not really here to try to convince people to agree or disagree with me necessarily. Mm-mm. But I am here to be understood, and I would like to at least explain how I view things more so than make people do what I want them to do. And that's a huge distinction because in my lifetime, I know I personally have had multiple people try to, they think they're kind of understanding me by thinking, oh, you want like a cult or a following or people to like do your bidding, and sociopaths want that kind of shit. I don't want that, you know. I don't want followers. I don't mind friends, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, like, it's like I don't mind peers and people I can respect and people that, you know, I don't need you to be like a robot and follow my every lead. And I'm not saying that's what you're saying. I definitely don't feel that way. But I'm just saying, like, the general gist of I don't agree with this person all the time, it's not even offensive to me. Because it's like, yo, that's how it should be.
That's how it should be.
You know how many people I listen to? I love, man, I love some of my favorite podcasts. But I like the idea of agreeing with everything that come out their mouth. That's crazy people talk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need that. You know, people, like, I've seen how people will try to refer to me, whether it's to admonish me or whether it's in the positive, where it's like these fucking male feminists or something, or you think you one of the good ones, or you did, you know, y'all show is what is safe environment or something like that. And I'm like that's how you view me, because I've never viewed myself as any of that shit. Mm-mm. I'm just me. I'm Rod. I show up, I talk, I do my thing. We make our jokes. I don't feel like I'm more fucking more of an authority than anybody else. You all can get a microphone and your opinion and put it on the internet the same way we do.
Right.
Everybody can do this shit. So it's not like I got it all figured out. And if you've listened to however many fucking episodes we're on right now, you've watched us be like, I thought this way. 2 years later, I was wrong. Oh, I learned this thing on Monday. Someone wrote in on Saturday and, oh, the shit, that's right. Okay. I still remember as an example, the first time we read about Chelsea Manning and her wanting to get gender reassignment surgery and stuff, and she was in prison for, you know, particularly being a traitor to the United States and shit. I still remember like, now why the fuck would we do that? Like, but she's like, she betrayed the country and shit. Like, and you're in prison now. You don't get to do da da da. And someone wrote in on Saturday. I can't remember if it was Olivia or somebody, but they wrote in. I was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I can see that point of view. Yeah. Fuck it. Well, why the fuck do I care? Yes. You should be able to get your gender reassignment surgery. You know, of all the other shit they spending fucking money on with the Defense Department, that's the least of our worries. You should be able to get that. You should be in a facility that corresponds with your gender, and you should be addressed as your correct pronouns and all that shit, because it literally cost me nothing. It cost me personally nothing to be like, yeah, that's actually much better. Prison should not be about torture.
No, it shouldn't.
It should, you know, especially when you get to the inalienable rights, like the right to your gender and shit. It should not be about that. But I didn't, that Monday, I didn't know that. That Monday, I was up in this motherfucker like, nah, nigga, you out here betraying the country. You know? So, all that to say, like, even we learn from each other and shit. So, you know, but it's dope to hear people that are like, you know, cause, you know, I feel like the things you're saying made sense, and I wish I could let this shit go and get down with what you're saying, because I like, real talk, I struggle with that a lot, just personally. Like, even with myself, I'm like, Rod, you know the right thing to do here is this, and I'm like, nah, fuck that shit though, son. So even I struggle.
Everybody does.
Yeah. You guys bring me so much joy from your insights, the good people you keep in company, seeing and celebrating our blackness, and doing your best to be positive. I've been dealing with my husband's cancer for the last 8 months, and I have MS, and it's been very hard. But Rod and Karen and their listeners always managed to brighten my day. Listening to Balls Deep, I was able to hold my own in a conversation about LeBron and the Cavs. Hey, I hope you brought up Tristan Thompson treating. Meanwhile, I can't tell you nothing about sports. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's then we doing our job, okay?
We doing it. Yeah, but just him and Justin, I just pop in whenever I feel like it. But him and Justin, they doing their job.
We are doing our job. If you can hold yourself in a sports conversation and not know nothing about sports, then we did what we supposed to do, okay? Well, you know, LeBron can't beat the whole damn team. I had no ideas what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to do. Lastly, I wanted to share how my 15-year-old nephew added to my joy. He's a very serious, pensive 15-year-old. Thinks he knows it all, etc. I was giving him a ride to work, listening to a gang of Guess the Race on our way to his job. We guessed along with the chat room and laughed. When he got out the car, he said, "Thanks, I love you. Be still, my heart." Playing that game with him made him comfortable enough to say things I don't think anyone has heard him say. Thanks and I love you. You guys are working magic. I really, really hope to see you guys in September. Look at it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And let me tell you something, man. A lot of these kids is racist, and they just need to know that you racist too. And that's all it takes for them to open up. You know, y'all both listen.
It's bonding time.
Yeah, y'all both being there like, black. And it's like, God damn it, aunt. I think I love you too back. Nah, that's cool though, seriously. A few thoughts from the week. C4 writes in. Cass writes in, I'm sorry. Dear Rod and Karen, thank you for your work you all put in, especially this week. It seemed like everything was trying to drain us, and y'all were a bright light in the fog. I ain't gonna lie, I didn't know if we was that bright on Wednesday. I was trying. I got to thinking about y'all's discussion on how much we will need each other going forward, and how much we let small things get between us. It's funny because as humans, our emotions amplify situations because our instinct is survival. Black folks especially have been in survival mode for a long, long time, and social media has confirmed some of our worst fears. The lashing out that we see and do is in large part a defensive survival. It sucks that so much of our energy and our genius, gender non-conforming inclusive, is used on this multi-generational fight for dignity and equality of our humanity. We're physically, mentally, and emotionally exhausted. Missteps are taken personally because it feels like a wrong mood, the wrong language, wrong strategy can seem to mess up the entire thing for everyone. And to some extent, that can be perceived to be true. Dog, you are speaking the truth. I hear other folks questioning whether integration is the best strategy for us. I see the back and forth about how we got hurt here and how we get unstuck so that we can get free. I'm not sure what that means for us or how much we owe each other, if we owe each other. I don't either, man. I don't know. I know we're not a monolith, but we still in that situation where I don't think we've truly accepted that this the idea of black unity is not, it's a pipe dream in a lot of ways, and maybe it always was, and the thing that unified us was the oppression that was coming no matter what you looked like and where you lived. But even then, man, I mean, well, remember when we went to the African American History Museum, and remember Emmett Till's mama, Mammy Till, was being like, yo, I didn't think that, I was like, that's them niggas down south, and then they killed my son. So I mean, it seemed like this shit always been this way. Mm-hmm. We just have part, you know how I talked about education and the Civil War and shit, part of the problem is too, we all got we've got the same narrative of the Civil Rights Movement. A lot of us don't know shit about the Civil Rights Movement except what white people told us was okay to learn, and it's all shit like, and then Martin Luther King died, and after he was nailed to the cross, he said, Father, forgive the white man's sins.
Come on.
And that's what we learn. And so even in that, you know, we have a mythical belief in monolithic blackness because we were taught that black unity was based off the Civil Rights Movement. And meanwhile, within the Civil Rights Movement, a lot of niggas didn't even fuck with each other. Mm-mm. There was a lot of black people like, nigga, y'all better take the bus. You know what I mean? like it was never magical unity, but we just got taught that it was, you know? And I think it's done us a huge disservice because we still expect that from each other. The truth of the matter is a small number of black folks can still make changes, big changes, but it's never going to be everybody on board ever.
No matter if everybody benefits from it, it don't matter.
Yeah. And people gonna have to get used to doing work for people that really don't give a fuck about them and will take advantage and credit for all the hard work that they did move people forward. It's fucked up. It's real fucked up. You know, it's one of the reasons I try to stay out of the whole activism space specifically because of that. It's fucked up. People do fucked up shit. You never know nobody's intentions. And motherfuckers can literally have, because they do feel like it's life and death, motherfuckers can have a disagreement and it's fuck you, fuck everybody around you, don't fuck with this person. Like, it's a lot of shit that I'm like, I'm staying out of. I don't know. You know? Anyway. But yeah, it definitely bleeds over in the online and shit. We are in survival mode. Alright. This week, seeing one fairly known activist say that some of the rhetoric she pushed in 2016 was not okay did something for me. Part of it was that she made it feel okay to really acknowledge my own missteps in the journey. Part of it was that I admittedly felt vindicated. It was healing, I suppose. I'm not sure if it's personal arrogance or a sense of closure to feel that kind of relief after reading her statement, but I felt like she is the type of person that can build and navigate true community. I admire that, and I'm not sure I got all the tools for that yet. I do know I want to love, heal, and be together and be free, but I have no idea how to get there. Yo, that's dope, man. Anytime somebody can have that self-reflection. I still think people was kind of tripping when I can't remember if it was Alicia Garza or Patrice Cullors that wrote that essay during the Women's March, where she basically was like, yeah, some of the shit gonna have to change, and some of the ways we approached organizing, it was not conducive, and there has to be some level of political access, voting, outreach to what we do. It can't just be we're over here angry by ourselves in the streets and then that's the end of it, and fuck anyone who's trying to work on it from another angle. It can't just stay that, because if we keep it that way, then it'll just be a small, angry, not very powerful group with no political influence and no plan to truly create this infrastructure, you know. So what are we going to do, because this next administration is going to be even more hostile? How do you navigate that, because the plan has to change? And I still remember people coming for her on some like, how the fuck you gonna just do this? And it's like, I mean, y'all was just telling her she was the greatest. Y'all were just pledging, you know, saying how great her futuristic vision and all this shit was. But, you know, a lot of this shit is not written in stone, and a lot of this is trial and error. You know, and I think it takes a big person to admit, like, yo, man, I thought I had it figured out, but, you know, dealing with shit that way, I realized there's some limitations to that. And the truth is, there's limitations to every approach.
Right.
You know, it's why we really can't afford to be, people can do what the fuck they want to do, and they're going to. I know that much. But in my opinion, it's such a waste of energy to be at each other's throats over shit that ultimately neither one of y'all niggas is going to, quote unquote, get free behind it. You know what I mean? Like, nigga, you ain't a socialist. Nigga, you is a socialist. Nigga, you this, you know, and y'all fighting. It's like, none of, did any of y'all, did the rent not come due this week because of this? Because it's still coming due for me. Still looking at this shit like, maybe I can pay it on the 5th, you know? Still. So, I don't know. But I do think we take a lot out on each other, but I don't know. I think that's really beautiful when people have moments like that. Now, I don't know what activists you're talking about specifically or what statement it was, to be honest. But hopefully I'll find a way to read it or something, because I would not be against reading something like that.
Mm-mm.
Anyways, all that to say. Plus, also, nobody's ever fucking wrong anymore.
Ever.
Nobody's ever like, man, I don't think I did that the right way. Nobody. Everybody can just justify what the fuck they do in hindsight, because we all write our own narratives now. Like, everybody can just go back like, nah, nigga, my shit right. It don't matter how I look. It don't matter I'm a hypocrite. It don't matter that I went against my values for my values. It don't matter. None of it matters. I'm always right every time. That's crazy, y'all. Anyway, all that to say, y'all have me in my head. Keep up the excellent work, and I can't wait to see y'all in September. Hey, shout out to the chat room. Can't wait to see you too, Cass. I think that's everybody. So yeah, tomorrow we have Bacon on
the
show.
I love them.
I can't wait to chop it up, you know, see what we're gonna do. And also what was I gonna say? I'm gonna be on Chris's. I'm gonna be on LaShonda's show for the MTR Network, where we're gonna talk about Dominion. That'll be on the MTR's premium network, and I'm gonna record that tomorrow. So, all right, that should be everything. We'll talk to y'all later. And also, there may or may not be, like I said, I've told y'all this a few times before, but I'm gonna keep it up. We may have to take breaks as needed. You may get, you know, 2-3 shows in a week as opposed to 4 or 5, some depending on how I'm feeling and stuff, how Karen's feeling and shit like that. So you know, we'll try to keep y'all updated, but you know, if you don't see a show in the feed for a day, don't trip. You know, if you don't see it for 4 or 5 days like that, fucking
be concerned.
iTunes, then yeah, hit us up.
Be concerned.
Yeah, we might try to take more breaks, man, because you know, you can't keep going like this I can't keep going like this all the time. All right, y'all, until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.